From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. Minister Retno Marsudi encouraged partnership between Indonesia and the Netherlands to reinforce multilateralism. Dutch Ambassador Lambert Grins praises the spirit of developing Indonesia. French Embassy holds Gueux de France 2024 with the theme sports and gastronomy. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has conveyed that she is happy to see the partnership between Indonesia and the Netherlands, which is getting better and stronger. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, when giving a speech at the Koningsdag or Dutch King's Day celebration at Erasmus Huis in Jakarta on Thursday, this good relationship can also be applied to relations between Indonesia and the European Union. She also said that this cooperation needs to be continued into the international realm to uphold justice and humanity.
And our good relation goes beyond the bilateral one. It also applies to the relation between Indonesia and the EU. This good bilateral relation should also go to the international arena to strengthen multilateralism and to uphold justice and humanity, and also to uphold international law in a consistent manner.
Besides, Minister Retno also pointed out during a meeting with Prime Minister Mark Rutte last year, both countries agreed on a comprehensive partnership action plan, which has now been followed up. She also explained that issues related to water management, energy transition, green economy, and sustainable infrastructure are the heart of bilateral relations of both countries. She believes that with the status of the Netherlands as the location of an international court organization, the Netherlands will always defend justice and humanity, including for the Palestinian people. Dutch Ambassador to Indonesia Lambert Grins remembers the visit of King Willem-Alexander to Indonesia 4 years ago, when the Dutch king called Indonesia a country with old souls and young hearts. This was conveyed by Ambassador Grins in his remarks at the celebration of Koningsdag or Dutch King's Day at the Dutch Cultural Center Erasmus House in Jakarta on Thursday. He further said that he agreed with King Willem-Alexander's statement after he witnessed Indonesia's transformation.
Now, we see that in Indonesia, there are many misconceptions around the EU position on power. Some people within the Indonesian government keep on saying that there is an EU ban on power. And that, as we can see from these figures, is simply not true. It's reverse, actually. We are importing more and more power. There is no EU ban on power.
Furthermore, in his speech, Ambassador Lambert Grins pointed out a number of achievements between the Netherlands and Indonesia, such as the large number of Indonesian students learning Dutch language and the Sustainable Infrastructure Investment Program for Indonesia, worth 5.2 trillion rupiah. He also stated that this year's Koningsdag was the last celebration he attended in Indonesia because his term of office in Indonesia is coming to an end. The celebration was attended by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, who was previously the Indonesian ambassador to the Netherlands. 3 months before the 2024 Paris Olympic, the French embassy in Jakarta held a Taste of French or Goût de France 2024 reception with the theme Sports and Gastronomy at the Residence de France in Jakarta on Thursday. The reception was attended by General Chairperson of Indonesian Olympic Committee, KOI, Raja Sabta Oktohari, along with the board of the KOI. A number of heads of National Sports Federation and two cyclists who have qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympics, namely Rio Akbar and Bernard Benjamin van Aerth. The invitees were treated to some typical French dishes prepared specifically by four professional chefs from France. In his remarks at the event, French Ambassador to Indonesia, Fabien Penone, conveyed that the Taste of French reception was held by French representatives throughout the world, which represented France as an Olympic and gastronomic event.
As you know, Goût de France is organized by the French diplomatic network around the world since 2015 to celebrate the excellence of French chefs, artisans, and food products. This year, as the Paris Olympic and Paralympic Games approached, the 24th edition of Goût de France wanted to highlight the connection between sports and gastronomy. During the Paris Olympic and Paralympic Games, France will not only be the largest playground for athletes from all over the world, but also the largest dining table in the world.
Furthermore, Ambassador Fabien Penone also stated both in the kitchen and on the field, collaboration, solidarity, excellence, a sense of belonging and togetherness are essential values that must be upheld. Goût de France 2024 will be held from 1st to 11 October 2024 in 151 restaurants in 14 cities spread across four islands in Indonesia. During the activity, people can taste French cuisine, participate in cooking workshop, take part in demonstration by French chefs, and take part in seminars on French cooking skills. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno says that there are 17 subsectors of the creative economy that young people can explore to generate income while studying at university. As quoted from the official website of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, the 17 subsectors include game, music, fashion, developers, film, animation, and video. In the keynote speech at the Youth Forum activity entitled Maintain Money While Studying, which was broadcast on RRI Voice of Indonesia on Thursday, Minister Sandiaga also encouraged university students to become entrepreneurs while studying to have a spirit of hard work, optimistic life, and excellent leadership. The young generation is a national asset that plays a major role in advancing Indonesia's economic condition. The creative economy is driving the future economy towards the Golden Indonesia 2045. These are 17 subsectors of the creative economy that the young generation can choose to pursue hobbies while studying and becoming entrepreneurs. I encourage young entrepreneurs to have a hard work mindset, optimistic, innovative, creative, and leadership attitude. Moreover, in his speech, Minister Sandiaga believes that Indonesia will become the world's largest creative economy in 2045. This youth forum is the 8th forum of RRI Voice of Indonesia, and it was held at the Rectorate of the University of Mataram West Nusa Tenggara. This activity presented business experts from BINUS Business School, Wahyute Setiobudi, business people and activists of the West Nusa Tenggara National Creative Economy Movement, Erwin Irawan, and chairperson of the Entrepreneurship Management and P2MW University of Mataram, Rini Nofrida. A recording of this event can be watched on the VOI official YouTube channel. Let's move on to the international news, where Russia on Wednesday vetoed a United Nations resolution that proposed a ban on the use of nuclear weapons in outer space, amid U.S. intelligence-backed concerns that Moscow is trying to develop a nuclear device capable of destroying satellites. As reported by CNN.com, Russian Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia described the UN drafts as a dirty spectacle and a cynical ploy prepared by the resolution's backers, the U.S. and Japan. In February, President Joe Biden confirmed the U.S. has intelligence that Russia is developing a nuclear anti-satellite capability. Three sources familiar with the intelligence subsequently told CNN the weapon could destroy satellites by creating a massive energy wave when detonated. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan received his Yemeni counterpart Shaya Mohsin al-Zindani in Riyadh on Thursday. As quoted by the ArabNews.com, Prince Faisal congratulated al-Zindani on his recent appointment of Foreign Minister by Yemen's internationally recognized Presidential Leadership Council at the end of March, and wished him success in the role. During the meeting, the two ministers reviewed aspects of bilateral relations and ways to strengthen and develop them in various fields. They also discussed topics of common interest. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and Sustainable Development Goals continue to be the guideline for recovery, green and sustainable development. As reported by VOVworld.vn, Vietnamese ambassador designate to Thailand and head of the Vietnamese delegation to the Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, Pham Viet Hung, affirmed Vietnam's commitment to achieving the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and Sustainable Development Goals while giving a speech at the ASCAP's 80th annual session in Bangkok, Thailand. He also said Vietnam is strongly committed to timely finalization of the SDGs. In this effort, the country has integrated the 2030 Agenda into national development strategies and carried out a series of policies on education and social welfare, and has made significant progress, particularly in poverty eradication, clean water, and sanitation. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on the U.S. sends long-range missiles to Ukraine. The dream of peace in Ukraine still seems far away. This is in line with the increase in the country's military strength. It turns out that the United States had secretly sent 80 ACMS or Army Tactical Missile System long-range missiles to Ukraine. According to U.S. Department of State spokesperson Fedan Patel, as quoted by the AFE news agency, the 80 ACMS long-range missiles was provided to Ukraine at the direct direction of President Joe Biden. These missiles was part of the March 8 package for Ukraine and not the one that Congress just approved and U.S. President Joe Biden signed. Patel also emphasized that the U.S. did not announce the delivery early on to maintain Ukraine's operational security at Kyiv's request. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Defense confirmed that the missile support to Ukraine can reach targets up to 300 kilometers away. The White House said last year that the U.S. was sending a short-range missiles variant that could travel 165 kilometers, but what Ukraine had long requested was a long-range missiles. The announcement of the missiles delivery came on the same day as Biden's decision to sign new aid amounting to $61 billion U.S. dollars to Ukraine. Thus, the Pentagon can send the artillery and air defense ammunition that Ukraine desperately needs. The presence of the 80 ACMS long-range missiles in Ukraine will almost certainly increase Kyiv's self-confidence. The question is, will these missiles be used as a means of self-defense or instead become weapons that will be used to attack Russia? Meanwhile, for Russia, will the presence of 80 ACMS in Ukraine make Moscow refrain from carrying out attacks, or, on the contrary, will it become a more aggressive? The Russia-Ukraine conflict not only caused casualties and material losses on both sides, but also affected geopolitics and the global economic order. It is hoped that the leaders of the two countries will prioritize humanity rather than the ego of power in resolving the war, which has lasted more than 790 days, so that the people of both countries can live in peace and calm. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
I'll start today in history with April 26, 1959, when Ki Hajar Dewantara passed away. Raden Mas Suwardi Suryaningrat, or better known as Ki Hajar Dewantara, is an Indonesian national education figure. He was an activist in the Indonesian independence movement, columnist, politicians, and one of the pioneers in the education of indigenous Indonesians during the Dutch colonial period. He was born in Yogyakarta on May 2, 1889. In 1922, Ki Hajar Dewantara founded the Taman Siswa College, an educational institution for common natives. For his service in pioneering education, he was declared the father of Indonesian national education, and his birthday, May 2nd, was made National Education Day. Ki Hajar Dewantara passed away in Yogyakarta on April 26, 1959, at the age of 69 years. Let's move on to April 26, 1986, when Chernobyl nuclear accident in the Soviet Union occurred. On April 26, 1986, reactor number 4 exploded at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant located near Pripyat, Soviet Union, now in Ukraine. Large amounts of radioactive material were released into the atmosphere in the Western Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. This accident killed 30 operators and firefighters within 3 months, followed by several other deaths. This nuclear disaster is considered the worst nuclear accident in history. I'll end today in history with April 26, 2017, when Indonesian National Disaster Preparedness Day was first commemorated. Since 2017, on April 26, Indonesia has commemorated National Disaster Preparedness Day, initiated by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency. The date April 26 was chosen through the enactment of Law No. 24 of 2007 concerning disaster mitigation. The aim of commemorating National Disaster Preparedness Day is to raise awareness and vigilance at all levels of society so that Indonesia becomes disaster resilient. The theme for this year is Ready to be Safe, with a 2024 sub-theme, Indonesia is Tough, Indonesia is Great.
Thank you.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia stays committed to achieve zero emission in 2060. Emission and greenhouse gas reduction is a responsibility of all. But the global target must not regulate the achievement of each country, because every country has their own interests and capability related to domestic situation. That was stated by Secretary General of Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry Dadan Kusdiana in an interview with Antara before the 14th General Assembly session of the National Renewable Energy Agency in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates on Wednesday. Dadan explained Indonesia doesn't join in the effort to increase renewable energy capacity threefold to achieve the target in 2030. However, Indonesia has a very strong commitment to achieve zero emission by 2060. Or earlier, Indonesia saw that in China and India do not join in the spirit. Therefore, according to Dadan, Indonesia is not reducing their commitment to develop renewable energy. The 14th General Assembly session of the International Renewable Energy Agency was themed COP28 Results, Infrastructure, Policies and Capabilities for Tripling Renewable and Accelerating the Energy Transition. In the theme, International Renewable Energy Agency, or IRENA, wants the world to triple renewable energy up to at least 11 terawatt in 2030. Referring to the document of Energy Transition Outlook from IRENA, the target to maintain the scenario of global average temperature increase no more than 1.5 Celsius degree. According to Dadan, Indonesia believes that renewable energy development will bring benefits for domestic energy supply besides to reduce greenhouse gas emission. However, Dadan emphasized that to accelerate, expand, and enhance renewable energy capacity to meet the need and capability. Dadan also emphasized that the renewable energy use will not reduce competitiveness value. The 14th General Assembly session of the International Renewable Energy Agency kicked off on Wednesday with high-level statements from the General Assembly session president, namely the Rwandan Infrastructure Minister Jimmy Gasore, the host country United Arab Emirates, and IRENA Director General Francesco La Camera. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Drive me
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, April 20th, the city government of Depok, West Java, and the people of Depok held the Lebaran Kukusan tradition. It is called Lebaran Kukusan because the Eid tradition is carried out in Kukusan Village, Beji Sub-District, Depok City. It is different from the Eid tradition in various regions, which is held on Eid Syawal. Lebaran Kukusan in Depok was held on 10th Syawal 1445 Hijriah. According to the mayor of Depok, who is often called Kiai Idris, Eid Kukusan is a tradition that elevates the culture of the past. Apart from that, Lebaran Kukusan is an effort to maintain simple traditions in ancient society, one of which is the tradition of eating together. Listener, the Lebaran Kukusan activities were created from ideas from community leaders, RT and RW heads, youths, and Depok residents. This Eid activity was held as an effort to reminisce about the Eid atmosphere in the past, particularly among the Betawi people. Lebaran Kukusan was created by exchanging food, which was preceded by a chain parade. Nostalgia is getting thicker with the costumes worn by the participants. The male participants wore traditional Betawi clothing, namely pangsi. Meanwhile, the women wore kebaya while carrying baskets containing rice and side dishes to eat together. The rantang tradition is a tradition of the Betawi people during Eid, in which the Betawi people will go around to the homes of family and relatives carrying basket containers filled with various specially prepared foods such as dodol, tape uli, rengginang, and rendangan. Listener, on Lebaran Kukusan this year, Kukusan residents held a parade carrying baskets filled with food, then the food is eaten together with other residents. Residents also brought pile of ketupat-like mountains and held fashion show. Apart from that, residents also held hamper-making competitions, Volume 2 ketupat weaving competitions. Eid Kukusan becomes even more lively when the coin and candy sale started. There were also art performances held to enliven the event, as well as bazaar involving Kukusan, micro, small, and medium enterprises. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with our another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
sepenuh hati untuk menjadi malaikat, menepikan perasaan, runtuhkan egoku, namun sayapku remuk. Bila ku tanya pada diriku, mengapa aku bertahan menerima keadaan yang tak baik saja, memaksakan segalanya.
Soal kita, Dan.
Justru itu, kau bisa jalan hubungan tanpa perasaan.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title for today's edition of Indonesian Wonder is Olos Snack. Tegal City is a tourism destination in Central Java, which is visited by many tourists both for holiday and stopping over when traveling along the Trans-Java route. Visiting the city of Tegal, which is well known as a maritime city, would be incomplete if you don't try its unique snack called Olos. The shape is round with a super spicy taste. This culinary delight is suitable for those of you who love spicy food. listener, olos is made from a mixture of starch and wet flour, which is shaped to be round and then it is filled with sliced cabbage and chilies. Afterwards, this mixture is fried until cooked. The spicy taste of sliced chilies is the specialty of olos snack. In Tegal, olos can be easily found on the side of the road and the price is affordable, about 500 to 1000 rupiah per item. Olos sellers usually sell it by using cards. Listener, olos was first made by a resource of fried Indonesian spring rolls seller named Ibu Kotia in 1995, but the buyers, the most of whom were children, called it olos. So until now, the name of this snack is olos. Meanwhile, the filling only used cauliflower and chilies, because most buyers didn't like carrots and bean sprouts, which are usually found in the risoles. Currently, olos snacks are increasingly developing and varying. At the beginning, olos was only filled with sliced cabbage and chili. Now there are various variants of olos fillings, such as shredded chicken, quali eggs, meatballs, sausage, and cheese. Apart from that, several sellers provide various flavors of spices such as spicy, sweet corn, cheese, and chili powder. That was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's editions of Music Corner will present you original pop song from South Bengkulu entitled Bekata Kurak Karya. Bekata Kurak Karya is one of the Bengkulu's folk songs created by Bengkulu Governor Abdullah Razi Yahya. This song began to widely spread through the performance of a popular singer in the 90s, Itje Trisnawati. Bekata Kurak Karya tells the story of an elder brother who calls his younger brother, who is busy to listen to the sound of frogs, to come home soon. Instead of obeying his brother's call, the younger brother is curious to hear the sound of other frogs. Alright, listeners, here is Bekata Kurak Karya from South Bengkulu, sung by Junita and Zamri. Happy listening to the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku mengerti Perjalanan hidup yang kini kau lalui, ku berharap meski berat kau tak merasa sendiri. Kau telah berjuang menaklukkan hari-harimu yang tak mudah. Biar ku menemanimu membasuh lelahmu. Izinkan ku lukis senja, mengukir namamu di sana, mendengar kamu bercerita, menangis tertawa. Biar ku lukis malam, bawa kamu bintang-bintang, untuk temanimu yang terluka hingga kau bahagia. Aku di sini, walau letih, coba lagi, jangan berhenti. Ku berharap meski berat kau tak merasa sendiri. Kau telah berjuang menaklukkan hari-harimu yang tak indah. Lelahmu, izinkan ku lukis senja, mengukir namamu di sana, mendengar kamu bercerita, menangis tertawa.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.